I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast with Gerry Hussey. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded dermocosmetic brand with 90 years of skincare expertise. Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation. Powered by active ingredients, product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. Thank you so much for tuning in today. So I always record my seasons in real time just to see what themes are coming up and where I want to go next with guests. And this week, I really felt like after my episodes with so many of my incredible guests this season, especially Courtney Smith and Bonnie, where we were speaking about signs, that I wanted to get Gerry's take on signs and five-star moments and how we can reconnect with ourselves this summer and focus on the things that make us happy. So this week I took a break, and I was thinking a lot about this on the flight on the way home from Spain. You know, I was excited to get back to work. I'm excited to start jogging again. But that break was really important for me. And I was thinking about, you know, what happens to us when we take a break. We've almost been conditioned to think that taking a break is a waste of time. I mean, you'll never find me sitting on my couch on a Saturday afternoon reading a book. But why? I spoke to Martha Beck, Oprah's life coach, at the end of last year, and she spoke to us all about doing things that make us feel warm. So doing things that make us feel good inside. And she said that's the path to true happiness. So this week, I really tried to listen to myself. I put down my phone. I was really present with Pia and Jamie. I read a book, a novel. So I wasn't reading a book that was educating me. I forgot about the schedule. And you know, one of the most interesting things that I did was disconnect with myself. So that internal chatter of I should be doing this or I should be doing less of this. And by doing that, I ended up in this weird way, reconnecting with myself. It was like a reset. So in that week, I started to do things that I really wanted to do, like jumping into the swimming pool, staying up a little bit later. I didn't charge my phone at night, so my battery was always dead in the morning. I didn't even know what time it was. And I couldn't sit there scrolling in bed. And they weren't conscious decisions as I was taking this break. I was just going with the flow and doing things that were making me feel warmer. And funnily enough, that's what this podcast with Gerry turned out to be about. And I didn't even plan that. So I wanted to ask Gerry about signs and five-star moments, how we can stop complaining. And yes, I did manage to get a few of those questions in. I think you'll really enjoy Gerry's take on them. But we spoke about how we can make ourselves happy, how we can strip away all of the I shoulds and just live the good life, that life that we were supposed to live. And we're often so busy striving for the things that we think will make us happy, and ignoring the moments right in front of us that we know will make us happy. And those moments and experiences are all around us at every single minute of the day if we choose to see them. So thank you to Gerry, my great friend, for coming on to the podcast today. Thank you to Hal Elrod he wrote the book that's transformed my summer. It's called The Miracle Morning. And thanks to my friend Will Matthews for his brilliant story he told me this week, which I took so much from and spoke to Jerry on the podcast today. Before we get started with Jerry, our first ever Good Glow retreat is taking place in September in the gorgeous Wicklow Escape. We're putting together the Good Glow workshops. I'm so excited for you to see what we have in store for the weekend, to taste the food, spend time together, completely switch off, reconnect with ourselves, and just have a really good time. We have a couple of slots left. Nearly everyone who is coming so far is coming alone, so don't be shy if you'd like to join us. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Over to Jerry. Jerry, welcome back to the Good Glow. I feel like I could put out a weekly podcast with you and people would never tire of hearing from you. So thanks for coming back, and it's great to have you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
So Jerry, I was getting all of these feelings over the last couple of weeks. I like to record my season in real time just to see what themes are emerging and what's coming up. And a real strong theme this season has been signs. And my listeners have been falling over black feathers all summer and different types of feathers. And I have really found that it's been bringing people a lot of comfort, asking for a sign and getting their signs. And before we get into all of that, how are you and how's things going for you at the moment?
Thanks. Things are going very well. Obviously, we have a baby number two arriving in a few weeks. So that's very exciting and daunting at the same time. And from a work point of view, I mean, things have really just exploded, particularly since my book came out a year ago. You know, there's lots of interest in the UK and the US now, and I'm doing podcasts with, you know, Dr. Bernie Siegel, and, you know, and he's voting for my book as Book of the Month ahead of Oprah Winfrey's book. And it's just mind-blowing that a message that for so many years, it seemed that people just weren't interested in it, or people, and you have to fight. Yeah, you have to fight against some of the pseudoscience and some of the narratives that's out there by food companies and pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, and when you're not a big corporate organization, it's very hard to get your voice out there. But it's been 20 years of me just with steadfast conviction to truth. And I think that's what I've always tried to do. Is it scientific? Is it simple? And is it truthful? And now it's like there's been a massive awakening. There's been a massive shift in consciousness. And we're suddenly realizing that so many of the truths that we were giving are not truths at all. And I think the challenge for us all now is to try, discern, reflect, and with a healthy level of doubt, really question what is true. What is true for me? What is the science behind this? And that is now changing the whole way we understand psychology, mental health, nutrition, spirituality. There's a real amazing conversation, but it's happening at a deeper level. It's happening in people's hearts. There's a restlessness. There's an uneasiness because people are now beginning to say, I am sick of lies. I've been sold this dream of success. It's not for me anymore. And there's something bubbling. There's something awakening in human consciousness that finally, I think the message is beginning to resonate. And I'm more importantly, just trying to live it myself every day, trying to stay in that space of quiet reflection, that silent observer of my own life, and just with all that's going on in the world, stay true to my message that there is so much beauty and love and kindness in the world, and that each and every one of us has an incredible ability to change the world. And I told you last year, you know, that this year I wanted to be an unstoppable force of good. And I think in a world of so much fighting and segregation and separation and judgment, I just want to be a voice of kindness and love and respect, where we just come to understand the human being and why are we so restless and why are we chasing and what would bring us more peace. And I think that's been the biggest challenge, is to stay true to that simple mission to bring more joy, more peace, more love into the world.
Yeah. And I think one of the
parts of your book that really resonated with me was when you spoke about, you know, we tell ourselves we're a certain type of person. And I think for so many people, like, you go through life, and an example of it happened actually on my holidays, right? So I was in Spain and there was this man and his daughter connected with our daughter at the pool. But he was very standoffish, like didn't really get to know us. He was with his tribe. So his whole extended family were there. And then his whole family went home and he was left with his daughter. And I found that he turned into a different person then. He maybe didn't feel the constraints of what people thought of him or who they thought he was or who he told himself he was. And we found that he opened up to us more. He was chatting. He was asking us questions. And I was wondering, you know, is that his true self? And do all of these stories that he's told about himself or things that he believes his family believe about himself, are these things holding him back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Georgie, you know, being part of a tribe is so important to us that we're all conscious that we need to belong to something and something bigger than ourselves, a community, a tribe, and whether that's family or friends. The danger with that is as we grow and change, and we are growing every second of every day, every cell in your body, every piece, every sinew, everything, every blood, everything in the universe is constant movement. So everything is a process. Nothing is static. So we as people, we're never the same person. There's a beautiful expression that says, a man never steps in the same river twice, because when he steps in the second time, he is different and the water is different. If you get attached to a concept of yourself, then the danger is you begin to live in the past. Because the moment you experience a version of yourself, a split second later, that version is over. The danger with that is we're always trying to be a certain concept, my best self, my most peaceful self. And the problem with that is very often we're hanging on to a version of ourselves that no longer exists. So we all have concepts, and one of the biggest concepts we hang on to is the concept that we think people will accept or people will love. And very often we begin to grow out of that. We begin to no longer want to be the problem solver, the people pleaser, but we're so afraid, well, if I'm not this, will I be loved? Will I be expected? And the human ego is constantly trying to trap you within the limits of its expectations and the limits of other people's expectations. And that's why we value social affirmation more than self-expression.
Yeah.
So we have this dead image of who we are. So it's almost like if you had the most romantic or the most amazing date, and it's just magic and it's just happened. If you go back the next 10 nights in a row trying to recreate it, you can go with the same person to the same venue, eat the same food. It will never be the same. Nothing in life lasts more than a split moment. So whether it's a moment with your child, a moment with your mom, a moment with a loved one, a moment with yourself, that moment is only there for the split second. And either we're alive to it and attentive to it and we can extract the joy out of it, or we're busy denying that moment as right or wrong because it's not what we expected.
Yeah.
So we have to surrender all expectations of ourselves and others. So whoever you are is simply who you are at this moment. There is no other version of you. And sometimes, Jerry, sometimes I am angry and sometimes I'm sad. And sometimes, because if people want, sometimes expect me to be the confident, calm Jerry, but that's a concept of me they have. The only way you get to know me is to live with me every moment of every day. I don't know who I'm going to be tomorrow. But I'm giving myself the total freedom to be who I need to be at that moment, without judgment, without resistance, and without the need for me to fit into any expectation either I have of myself or somebody else. And now you have an incredible ability to recreate yourself every day, to allow yourself to live from a place of truth that is totally free, without worry what people think, rather than trying to live in this stagnated concept of who I should be. That's just a concept. That's just a memory. That person is dead. That person is over. It's like the moment you take a picture of yourself, the minute you look at that picture, that person is no longer there because everything in their body, everything in their being is changing. So we are only this person for this split second.
Yeah. Actually, can I just get a book that I'm reading? Because I wanted to read out this quote to you, and then I was like wondering if it would be just lost in translation. But just what you're saying there, I just think it's the perfect time to say it. So I was reading this book called The Miracle Morning. And in it is a quote from this guy called Matthew Kelly. And he says, on the one hand, we all want to be happy. And on the other hand, we all know the things that make us happy, but we don't do those things. Why? Because we're too busy. Too busy doing what? Too busy trying to be happy. So like when I read that, I thought of you because say, for example, right, I have this friend called Will Matthews. And we met up with him a couple of days ago and he said that his alarm went off and it was really early in the morning and he had a decision to make. Was he going to roll over and go back to sleep, or in his heart and soul was telling him to go out on his paddleboard? And the kids were still asleep and the sun was rising and he went out onto his paddleboard for 2 hours and he floated around and he said, it was one of the most memorable experiences of his life. So by him connecting with what was going to make him happy in that moment was this unbelievable five-star moment. So how can we connect with what our gut is telling us to do in order to be happy in the present moment?
We have to dissolve the ego. The ego is the part of the self that is always terrified. What if I'm not enough? What if I'm not seen? What if I'm not respected? What if I'm... It's that terrified sense of self that we are alone. And that unless I'm surrounded by people, unless I have things that make other people, you know, look at me and see me, then I'm going to be left all alone. Loneliness and lovelessness are the biggest disease in the world we have right now. People who just don't love themselves, don't love the life they're living, don't love the mask they're wearing. And because we're all behind a mask and we're pursuing things or working in jobs that actually don't nourish our soul, there's this separation between the person we know we can be and the person we think we should be. And the ego is the part of us that needs to be accepted by others. But the true self is happy just knowing I'm here. I don't need anything. We need the basics, but most people who have the basics are still not happy.
Mm.
Stuff does not make people happy. Promotions does not make people happy. There's an instant gratification that comes and then it's short-lived. When you live with a spiritual hole or a hole in your soul, that internal need, that void will fill with food, with phone, with work, with things of matter. But a spiritual hole can't be solved by physical things. So what is, we consume the food, then we feel guilty. We consume the coffee, we consume the work. We go on Instagram, we see we've had a load of likes. It gives us an instant hit of dopamine for about 30 seconds, and then we're back on Instagram looking for more. We need to move to a place of spiritual fulfillment. And the only way we can begin to ask that or find that is to ask ourselves, what is the human being? We are not mechanical robots that walk around. We're not in nature. We are nature. We are a tiny piece of a cosmic dance. But somewhere along the line, we lose our trust in the universe. And we start saying things like the human being is the most enlightened of the species. Well, we're the only one that's bombing each other. We're the only one that starves each other to death. Are we really the most enlightened species? I think we need to redefine what is at the heart of the human being that is making us so restless.
Mm.
And it's a sense of separation. It's a sense of loneliness, of lovelessness, where we are putting our faith in physical things to make us happy. And then we chase things that deep down we know don't make us happy. But they're the things that we are being fooled by our ego every day to chase. So dissolving the ego through meditation, becoming comfortable in the great unknowing, becoming comfortable with the simple fact, we are born and we all will die far too early. This life is a short, finite, incredible thing where we get to witness the magic of this universe. And that's it. Everything else is just detail. It's the dash. We're born and we die. And most people know that. We know life is short. We know what makes us happy. But we can't give ourselves permission just to be enough. We all want extraordinary. We want more. But more what? More stuff that makes us unhappy. More stress. More mortgage. More repayments. For what? I think it's because we need to remember that this life is just a snapshot. It's an instant moment. And in that moment, if you can maximize love and presence and you witness the sunrise and you see the love between two people and you witness adversity, you begin to realize that everything ends in a state of peace. Nothing is forever. No good moment and no bad moment lasts forever. Everything will pass and come to peace. And so this temporary moment, this life, this thing that we call life, it is just a transient moment where we get to witness as much love and beauty as we can. And if that's your intent, to wake up every morning and witness as much beauty and love as possible, you're in for an extraordinary life.
And is that what was happening for Will then when he went out on his paddleboard, when he connected with what his heart, mind and soul, body, mind, body, soul was telling him to do, which was get out and go for your paddle? And why was that such an extraordinary moment for him, something that is so simple?
Because we've overcome the ego. And in that moment, he respected his true self. And there was no, I should be doing. It was, I am.
Yeah.
Why did he paddleboard? Why do we need to look for science? Like people say, oh, I love yoga. What's the science behind it? Does it matter? You know, or I'm after falling in love with this person. But, I don't know if it's going to work because they're not the type of person I thought I'd fall in love with. Hold on a second here. You just said you fell in love. That's it. We think that the logical brain is how we come to understand life. But it's not. It is in the heart. It is in feeling. So whatever will, when we allow ourselves to feel life. So the truth is, ask yourself, when I go to do something, does it make me feel more joy, more love, more peace? And if the answer is yes, then do it with all your heart. And if it doesn't, don't do it. Do I love my job? Does my job bring me peace and joy? No. Why am I staying here? And I know everyone says, oh, well, it's not easy in a mortgage. I was that person in a job that didn't fulfill me with a mortgage to pay. And I took the massive step of being self-employed, unemployed, with no financial security. And everything that everybody said would happen, financial ruin, doesn't happen. And most of the people in the world who build extraordinary happiness and wealth, they'll all say, well, it came at a time where I was in this safe, secure job. It really wasn't nourishing my soul. And I decided to live my passion. Passion is everything. If you're living with passion, then you're doing the right thing. If you're not living with passion, you're doing the wrong thing.
I think, I know I always talk to you about this. And when you're sitting on the beach and all you want to do is get into the sea, but you don't because fear holds you back or you're afraid to take the leap. And I think when you connect with what you really want, that's what you're saying there, you know, that's the joy, that's the living. Jump into the sea. If your heart and soul is telling you to do it, do it. I was speaking to Courtney Smith a couple of episodes ago, and she said, you know, do you dip your head when you get into the sea? And I said, no, oh, that's I get into the sea, but that's a step too far. But it's something I've always wanted to do. And she said, right, drive out to me. We're going to do it together. She said, dipping your head in the sea is like a rebirth. And mm-hmm. I did it. And it literally is transformative.
It absolutely is. Any connection with nature or any time, see, you overcome the ego. The ego said, I can't do that. That's not me. I don't do that. And as long as you obey the ego, you're not going to be happy. You're never going to be free. The ego imprisons us. And when you overcome the ego, so for me, you know, The Five Regrets of the Dying is an incredible book that I've mentioned all the time. But every day is a lifetime, and every lifetime is a day. So go back to what I said earlier. We're changing, evolving all the time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm going to be here. But I'm here now. So I'm not waiting until tomorrow to take that swim. I'm not waiting till tomorrow to tell my dad I love him. I am not waiting until tomorrow to tell my wife that I love her. I am not waiting for tomorrow to do something that sets my soul on fire, because there is no guarantee I'll ever get this moment again. And I have lived my entire life taking nothing for granted, being in that moment every day and knowing that at some stage in my life, this will all end and all of these opportunities will instantly disappear. And the tragedy of life is not death. Death is just a rebirth. It's just a transition. The tragedy of life is getting to the end and never realizing, and realizing you never lived. You never took the chance. You never jumped in the sea. You never walked up to that stranger in the coffee shop and asked them out on a date. Why? Because you were imprisoned by ego, and ego is fear. So when we meditate, when we pray, when we follow love, we only have this one day. And sometimes the ego is very sneaky. The ego will convince you that you're waiting, because nobody likes to say, I've quit. I've quit on my dreams. I've quit on happiness. I've quit on my dream job. So the ego will say, you know, you're just waiting. There's that beautiful person. Go and ask them on a date. No, wait for tomorrow. There's the sea. Jump in and no, wait for tomorrow. Waiting is quitting, because you wait as if you're guaranteed tomorrow, but there is no tomorrow. Who knows? So it comes back to being present. It comes back to realizing that there is no guarantee with this, and realizing that this incredible mystery, this thing that we call life, is unfolding in this moment right now. And either you're in it with love and joy and you're going for it, or you're waiting for something. And the only thing you're waiting for, you're waiting for yourself to give yourself permission. So how long are you going to wait? Because nobody else is going to give you permission to jump in that sea. Nobody else is going to give you permission to leave that job. Nobody else is going to give you permission to follow your dreams, because nobody even knows your dreams. So the only person that can give yourself permission to be happy is you. But you know what, Georgie? Deep down, some people feel, I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve love. Because we have built this narrative of, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, or I will be good enough when I sell more books, when I do this, when I get promoted. We look in the mirror and we see somebody who's still not good enough, not deserving enough. And deep down, if you're not giving yourself permission to have everything you've ever dreamed about, then your thinking brain can do everything it can to manifest that relationship, to manifest that job. But your energy field, your heart center, is stopping it, saying, I don't deserve it.
Mm.
And when most people, when you drill it down, if you ask them a simple question, when you look in the mirror, do you see somebody you truly love? Do you see someone that inspires you? Do you see someone that you think is one of the most amazing people on this planet? If somebody walked into a coffee shop and said, hey, beautiful, would you stand up and say hello? Or do you think that beautiful people are other people? Do you think that special people are other people? If we could see the beauty in ourselves, if we could see ourselves as an extension of the universe, a gift of the divine, You are worthy of everything you've ever dreamed of. But you got to give yourself permission to do it, to say it, to speak it, and give yourself permission, regardless of how it's perceived by other people. I have to express myself.
I feel like if you were saying this on stage, I'm just thinking of Tony Robbins right now, because I was watching a thing he was doing the other day. And I was like, if you were saying that on stage in America right now, everyone would be standing up, like cheering, punching the air, because everyone can relate to that, right? So just say there's somebody listening right now and is like, that is me. I do that. I beat myself up all the time. I don't think I'm good enough. Where on earth do you go from there? What is the first step?
So the first thing goes back to what you said earlier, Georgie, about personality. People say, that's just me. I'm not naturally confident. I'm not naturally intelligent. I have anxiety. I have depression, and I have to live within the limits of that. That is total and utter nonsense, and that there is not one shred of evidence or science behind that. So the first thing is, go back to the day you were born. Were you comparing yourself? Were you judging yourself? Were you striving? Go back to when you're 2 years old, like I see my little boy. Every flower, every wasp, everything is just the most amazing thing on the planet. Why this? What's that, Daddy? He sees things that I don't see. He makes me slow down and see grass. At 2 years old, you probably didn't have anxiety. You didn't have comparison. You didn't have judgment. These are things you've learned. And if you can learn them, you can unlearn them. And this is me from a guy who first thought about suicide at 9 years old, which is quite young. But when I went all the way back to root and I saw the picture of myself as a one-year-old baby about to blow up my birthday cake, I realized there was joy in my eyes. There was fire in my belly. I realized that this dysfunctional story of I'm not good enough was actually self-created. Now, maybe you heard somebody else say it. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a teacher who said something, who did something. And you internalized that. And then that became your inner story. I am Jerry. I have anxiety. I have depression. So what do you expect me to do? I'm not natural. But we can change that through meditation, through visualization, through therapy. It is not a quick fix. And it is not a 21-day resolution. So it's looking at, for me, I had to look at my diet. I had to look at my self-talk. I had to use visualization. I had to practice meditation. All of these things chip away until eventually, from a psychological, a biological, a chemical, and a spiritual, you're now beginning to put new information into the body, new sentences, new stories, new images. And we know that when we do that, the brain begins to change its structure and function. It changes its chemistry, and that changes the function of your nervous system and your immune system. You can upgrade your immune system. You can change the function of your nervous system, and you can change the function of your brain by thought and thought alone. But we have to be disciplined. So I had to listen to what I was saying to myself. This inner critic. I had to stand up for myself. So I took a picture of my baby self. I put it in my wallet. And I said, I'm going to fight for that little child. If I hear myself being unkind or nasty to myself, I'm going to stop and say, hold on a second here. Where's the proof of that? So no matter where you are right now, go back to the day you were born. You were free. You were beautiful. You were incredible. The very fact that you learned how to walk shows that you are intrinsically motivated. You are agile. You are resilient. You fell. You got back up again. You didn't care what people thought. You didn't care if you looked stupid. You just pursued what you wanted. So if you are a human being, you were born with agility and resilience and imagination and creativity and the incredible capacity for love. That is your divine human right, and you got to claim it back. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to speak your truth, and you have to demand from yourself and from others the respect you deserve. You have to realize, I am not here to be pushed around. I am not here to play small. This is my one chance at life. I am going to open my heart and my soul to the universe and to love, and I'm going to let love guide me. That is fearlessness. And that is the ultimate fear. When you step forward with faith, you step forward guided by nothing but love. And you talked about signs. The ultimate sign, Georgie, is when it feels right in your heart. And if it feels right in your heart and you deny it, you're going to end up anxious.
Yeah.
For me, it's simple. It is get the noise out of your head. Listen to the things you say to yourself. Look at the food you're eating. Look at the decisions you make. And sometimes ask yourself, what is the belief I hold about myself? What is the belief I hold about myself that is allowing me to abandon myself, to abandon my dreams, to abandon my health? You are an infinite gift of the universe. And you got to tell yourself that every single morning. The universe wants you to be happy. It is not coming against you, even though at times it can feel like that. Take back your power. Take back your human divine right of freedom and love. Speak your truth into existence. Speak to yourself as if you were the most precious person on this planet. And worry less about how that's perceived by others. If it feels right to you, that's the clue.
Yeah.
Just do more.
Whoa, Jesus, I need to lie down. That's what I'm just... Every time, Jerry, you just blow my mind with the things that you say, because this is what I love so much about you. It's all so simple. I really hope you're enjoying my podcast with Jerry, and I'm really excited to bring you the second half where we speak about complaining, connecting with our true selves and signs. But first, I just wanted to thank Vichy for supporting the Good Glow this season and tell you all about their iconic hydration serum, Mineral 89, which I use every single day. Enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, it's naturally found in French volcanoes and rich in 15 minerals essential to skin health. It's a beautiful, light gel serum and gives your skin immediate hydration and glow. Think of it as a daily multi-mineral for your skin. It's the perfect first step in any skincare routine. It's suitable for all skin types, and it can be used every morning and or night after cleansing your skin. For a 20% discount on all Mineral 89 products, use the code GOODGLOW20 on marspharmacy.ie. And that promotion is running from the 7th of August and ending on the 25th of September. I'll leave a link in the episode show notes. So back to Jerry. I was flicking through a book today and I thought whatever page it lands on, I am being guided to ask you about today. So it landed on complaining. And I do think that complaining can hold us back. I remember after getting sick, I stopped complaining about things because I was just so happy to be alive. And I was like, Mondays aren't so bad when you've had cancer. And I'd walk into town and people would be beeping each other. And I just remember thinking, like, this is a crazy way to live. So if you find that your own complaining is dragging you down, how do we get away from that?
First thing, as I say, is be kind and patient to yourself. We all complain. So I complain at times, but also have perspective. Meditation for me every morning gives me perspective. So if my little boy is going mad around the house and I can't and try to do podcasts and I can't hear myself think and I'm about to think I have it hard, I stop for a second and I think of those people who are sitting in a hospice beside their child or sitting in a hospital praying that their child makes it through another day. And then I just say to myself, this isn't a problem. This might be a nuisance, but that's it. We have to have a perspective. And the perspective is, what am I going to do about it? So Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, is we all have an incredible freedom. And the freedom isn't about what happens to us in life, because sometimes tough things happen. You know, life is adversity. But we get to choose our response. So when I meditate every morning, when I visualize the best version of me and I see that person, I see how they speak, I see how they talk, I see how they operate, then later on, if I ask myself, how am I choosing to respond to this? Am I responding with perspective and gratitude and love? Or am I now becoming angry and bitter? So I hold myself accountable to that person that I visualized every morning. And that's why it's so important to visualize that person every day. Because if the longer you go without seeing the best version of you, is the more you will start to make decisions and actions that fit the second, third, fourth, red version of you. So that's how you do it. You visualize every morning what the best version of you looks like. You list with gratitude the things that you are grateful for right now. We know that the practice of gratitude changes our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the chemistry of the body. There's a lovely expression that says, imagine tomorrow if you were only left with the things that you expressed gratitude for today. If you didn't express gratitude for something today, why would someone leave that with you?
Mm.
If the universe is giving you gifts, make sure you say thank you.
Oh. That's amazing. And Jerry, I can't let you go without asking you about signs and if you believe in them, because I know so many people who are listening this season are getting great comfort from signs. So what are your thoughts on them?
My thoughts are the ultimate sign is, does it feel right for me? So people talk about, you know, feathers or things that happen at 11:11. For me, I don't believe or disbelieve in those.
Okay.
What I ask is, the ultimate sign is, does it feel right for me? Is it in my heart? Is it coming from a place of love or fear? And if I love myself, what would I do? That's the sign. Your heart is the ultimate signpost. It knows everything. It will never lead you wrong. So the only sign I look for is my heart telling me to do this. Is my heart moving me in this direction? And if my heart moves me in this direction, I'm going to move. If it's just my brain or the thing that says maybe you should, or if it's fear, or if it's, nah, I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of external signs, and lots of people believe for very good reasons in lots of external signs. For me, the internal sign, because the internal one, when you come home to yourself, my belief is that me and the divine cannot be separated. Now, whether you call it the divine or just pure consciousness or pure love or the unified field, you cannot separate yourself from that. And I've gone from a place where I used to pray to God to give me the things that I wanted. But that's ego. I'm trying to control and manipulate the divine. Every day I pray, I just pray that God gives me the strength and courage and compassion to accept that which is true in my life. Without judgment, without fear, without comparison. And even though at times I don't understand and I can't figure out why these things are happening to me, I'm going to continue to trust, because the only other option, the only other side of faith is fear. And I made a decision a long time ago. Fear has no place in my life, because fear is anger. Fear is impatient. Fear is judgment. All of these things, they're just a different name for fear. Love is kindness, it's patience, it's tolerance, it's compassion. That's love. And the biggest decision you have to make every single morning is, am I going to live my life today from a place of fear or a place of love? Do I have faith? Do I trust in something other than myself? Do I trust in my community? And do I even trust in myself? And if you can't hand in heart say, I absolutely trust in myself, then that's the starting point. Because everything out there, no matter how many signposts you see, no matter how many opportunities you get, if it's yourself that's stopping you, then nothing will ever allow you to step in. Nothing will ever give you permission. So I live my life with total faith. But it doesn't mean I don't have to do the work. It doesn't mean I don't have to get up every day and meditate and pray and work and build the business. But I do it with no great need for it to go in any one direction.
Yeah.
There's no concept of Jerry that I'm trying to fulfill. There is no vision of the business that I have to arrive at. There is no predefined destination. It is total presence in this moment. I am living with love. I'm doing what feels right. And the universe will guide the next step.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, and, you know, asking for a sign, it's great and it might give you comfort, but what you're saying is the answers are within. We all know what we need to do, and it's about going out and doing that. And I think that's, I always have all of these themes and all of these things I'm going to ask you about, and then something else emerges. That was the motivation and the help that we needed today. So I'm so grateful for your time, Jerry. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with America. I'm sure your book will be a hit. Do you know when it's going to be released over there?
It was soft release early on in the year, and it's making its way through the US. The US is a big machine over there. So I'm just very proud of the book. I'm very proud of the courage I had to write the book. And I get messages every day from different people who found different things in the book. So the book will become what it needs to be. The book will find its way in the universe. I've detached from it completely now. I'm just very proud of myself that I wrote it. I was open. I was raw. I was vulnerable. I spoke my truth. And it's like whatever happens after this with the book, that's it. Everything will be for the better. And for me, it's let that message resonate. There was so much in that book. I think I'm looking forward to reading it again. I haven't even read it myself. I wanted to write a book that could be almost a guide for life, and different chapters will resonate. I never decided that I'd write two or three books because I live in the moment. So I knew I was going to write one book, and I put everything into it. So yeah, the book is in America, it's in the US, it's appearing in Oprah Winfrey's hands and things like that, which is exciting. But whatever happens of the book from now on, is just, that's in the hands of the divine. I wrote it, I was given a message, and my only worry ever about the book was to do justice to the message, because it's an important message. It's not mine. I've downloaded, some of it is about my life, some of it is just scientific truth. And then some of it is a deep knowing that comes from somewhere else. So once the book was finished, I just put it in the hands of the universe and it'll go where it's meant to be.
Oh my God, I'm just picturing Oprah reading your book. That would just be so incredible. One of my favorite things that you say all the time, Jerry, is if we don't change, nothing changes. And I think if anyone was looking for a little whisper today to follow their heart, they maybe got it from this podcast. So I'm so grateful to you for being such a great friend to me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I just want everyone to know that you are a gift of the universe, and that when you stop being hard on yourself and you stop doubting yourself and you begin to see the beauty in your own eyes and the beauty of your own soul and the importance of your own dreams, every single one of us has been sent here with a story to tell, and the only one that can tell it is you. And when you tell it with love and light, the world becomes brighter. And if you don't shine your light, if you don't tell your story, the world is missing something important. So just speak your truth, live your life, and shine as brightly as you can. It's the greatest gift you can give the world.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Jerry.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Jerry, and thanks to Vichy for the support this season. If you are enjoying this season, please make sure to subscribe. All the episodes will just land in your library and you'll get a little notification when we go live. You don't even have to download them, so you can listen to them on your flights or as you're traveling. I spoke at the start about my episode with Oprah's life coach, Martha Beck. If you enjoyed today's episode, I know that you will love that episode. So I'll link it in the episode show notes below. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.